Who's memorised the books of the Bible? I mean the order that they're in. I don't mean you know all the books of the Bible. So you two. These two know a tune to it.
We do.
Well, they call it a tune. Yours will be better than theirs. They sing it in our home group and I say, well, go on, what's the tune? And they say, that was the tune. It's terrible. But however you learn the books of the Bible, it's a useful thing to know. I know a tune as well. Might be the same as yours. Is it Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges? You can't actually write a great tune to it, can you? It's nice. Go on, sing yours, George.
No.
Maybe next week. Book of Colossians in the New Testament. The reason I asked who's memorised, I always go Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Those four, you get mixed up, don't you? Sorry. I memorise those four, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And you know where to find it. Because the others are, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And then Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's easy. And then you go into all the T's. You need some T's in there. Done? It's the hot weather, isn't it? Is that why I'm being heckled? Preach it, brother. Thessalonians, yeah? 1 and 2. Timothy 1 and 2, Titus. 5 T's? 5 T's, please. And 2 copies. Right, stop being flippant. This is a serious message. Focus, everybody. Come on. It's the hot weather. Everybody drives worse. And preachers get heckled. Where was Colossae? Colossae is where the Colossians lived. But where was Colossae? In modern-day Turkey. Has anybody ever been to Turkey here? Can anybody picture Turkey on the map? Good. Well, the sort of western coast of Turkey, which looks towards Greece and the Greek islands, you've got the island of Patmos, just off the western coast of Turkey, where John was exiled and had that fantastic vision. I suppose that's where we could use the word fantastic in a correct manner. Wonderful vision on the Isle of Patmos. And just on the mainland off the Isle of Patmos is Ephesus, the city of Ephesus, where the Ephesians lived, obviously. And about 100 miles east of Ephesus is Colossae, or was Colossae. So if you flew to Izmir, modern-day Izmir in Turkey, that would be Ephesus. It's actually just south of the modern-day city of Izmir. So the first time we ever went to Turkey in 1987, we flew to Izmir. Somebody had invited us there, this man who got to know in travel. He said, bring your family over, free of charge. So, it's a good job he said that, because I couldn't have possibly gone over otherwise. So, we landed in Izmir, at Izmir Airport. No travel agent, because we'd gone on our own, of course. We didn't speak a word of Turkish. Still don't. No, I didn't. I know a few words. And nobody around seemed to speak any English. This was sort of before Turkey was really a resort that we went to. It was just becoming that way. And we didn't have any Turkish money either. It wasn't the euro in those days, it was Turkish lira. It's when you became a Turkish millionaire, you know, because a pound was about 3 million lira, something like that. Anyway, we said, how do you get into the centre? Because we're going to meet this man in the centre, isn't it? Somebody pointed to a bus, and we get on the bus. And then we're on the bus, and how do you pay? Well, we had no money. We only had English money. Anyway, some Americans heard us speaking in English on the bus, and he volunteered to help us out. But I remember it well, because he said, if you could give me a pound, I'll pay for you. So we gave him a pound, you know, and he was going to pay for us in millions of lira. But it was a pound coin, and he'd never seen a pound coin before, this American. He said, no pounds are notes, he said. But anyway, he trusted us in the end. I don't mind telling you that story, but Izmir, Ephesus is just below Izmir. Colossae is 100 miles east of Ephesus. This is a great letter. It's one of my favourites. It's very similar to Ephesians in many ways. Like I said, it covers some of the same themes. It's only got four chapters. Ephesians has six. But it contains some real gems that are worth digging for, worth mining for. And just a qualifier about my sermon last week, when I talked about digging for gems and digging for nuggets of gold, and how to look at a verse, and how to meditate on a verse, and how to get a lot out of one verse. I hope I didn't give the impression that reading over a wide area isn't valuable. I didn't mean to give that impression. But we need a balanced diet, you know. Reading wide, long passages, or following a reading plan, is good. But it's like, you know, dipping in at the buffet. Whereas homing in on a verse and meditating on it and chewing on it, it's eating meat. You know, you can't just swallow the meat. You've got to chew it, haven't you? If you've got any teeth left, anyway. So, that acrostic I gave you last week, peel, paraphrase it, emphasize different words in it, ask questions about it, and memorize it. Learn, memorize it. That's how to get a lot out of one verse. And I'll be looking at specifically one verse again today. So last week was about the word, today is more about prayer. Two of the big things in your Christian life, aren't they, that keep you going. You know, if your Christian life is flagging in any way, it's usually one of maybe four things that have gone. Either the word, or your prayer life, or worship, or fellowship. Those four things keep us strong and healthy in the Christian life. Reading your Bible, praying, talking to God, worshipping God, because that changes your focus to looking up, and fellowship, meeting with other Christians who may cheer you up. Let's hope we do. Let's hope that's what we do when we meet one another, right? That we cheer one another up. We don't want to be the kind of Christians that people look at and say, I don't want to be like you. Sorry, I don't want to finish up like you, mate. I want to be, you know, joyful, don't we? Three of us want to be joyful. There was an aviator once called Handley Page. He made aircrafts. And he was flying to India. This was in the early days of aviation. And you had to stop a lot on the way in those days to get to India. And he landed his plane in a field, and then he took off again, and he was flying, and he heard this gnawing sound behind him. And he realized was a rat had got on board the plane, and it was chewing the electric wires on the plane. And, you know, if it chews through the wires, then the engines will stop working, and the plane will crash or glide down. And so he looked around for somewhere to land, but there was nowhere to land. It wasn't a convenient spot. I don't know if he was flying over the sea at the time, a lot of mountains, but there was nowhere to land. So he thought, I could die here because of this rat. And then he remembered, and he must have been well educated because I didn't know this, that rats don't live at high altitude. How do you know? How do you get a fact like that? Yeah. First thing you learn at school. ABC, 1, 2, 3, rats don't live at high altitude. So he took the plane higher, and the rat died. And he lived. And the plane survived. And I think that's a good illustration. If your life, Christian life's in danger from a rat, or some sort of enemy of your soul, go up higher. Go up higher. And that's what this letter is about in Colossae. Set your mind on things that are above, it says in chapter 3. Go up higher. You know, some people have been going through some tough things this week, and the way to get through tough things is to go up higher. To have an eternal perspective, and then to look up at God. So, If you want to defeat your enemies, go up higher. Let's just read the first 14 verses here. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, Timothy our brother, to the holy and faithful brothers in Christ at Colossae, grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we've heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. The faith and love that spring from the hope that is stored up for you in heaven and that you have already heard about in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. All over the world, this gospel is bearing fruit and growing, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and understood God's grace in all its truth. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Guess which verse I'm going to sort of home in on today. I'm only reading through at the moment. Asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. This is a long sentence, guys, but it's a good one. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. It's a great, great passage, isn't it? And it contains one of the biblical prayers. But I want to talk about prayer today. Here's some quotes about prayer that people have said down through the ages. A Jewish man called Isaac Bashevis Singer said, "I only pray when I'm in trouble. But I'm in trouble all the time. So I pray all the time." Andrew Murray said, "Some people pray just to pray, and some people pray to know God." John G. Lake said, "There's a mighty lot of difference between saying prayers and praying." Ooh. John Wesley, "From my heart, strangely warm." No, it's a different John Wesley quote. "I have so much to do that I spend several hours in prayer before I do it." Got so much to do. We say, "I've got so much to do, I've no time to pray," don't we? He said, "I've got so much to do that I have to spend more time in prayer so that I can do it." John Bunyan. What did John Bunyan write? Anybody know? "Everything's progress. Pray often. For prayer is a shield to the soul, a sacrifice to God, and a scourge for Satan, the rat." Kill the rat. Go up higher and kill the rat. "Of all the duties enjoined by Christianity, none is more essential and yet more neglected than prayer." Francois Fenelon. He was a bishop in France in the Middle Ages. "Of all the duties, none is more neglected than yet." What was it? "None is more essential and yet more neglected." Aldous Huxley, not a Christian, this guy. The third petition of the Lord's Prayer, which is, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." The third petition of the Lord's Prayer is repeated daily by millions who've not got the slightest intention of letting anyone's will be done but their own. Dwayne Roberts. Not as famous as all the others, is he, Dwayne? But I like him, Dwayne. He's a good guy. He's based in Kansas City, Dave. Good guy. Dwayne Roberts, he said, the primary purpose of our spiritual life is not ministry, but knowing God and being in relationship with Him. We pray to know Him. Andrew Murray. Some people pray just to pray, some people pray to know God. So we pray to know Him. Ray, you're back in. I did an aviation illustration and you weren't here. I'm not doing this again, I'm sorry. Well, you wouldn't have known the story anyway. It wasn't about building. Well, no. Did you know that rats can't live at high altitude? You've got one on. Does it survive? Oh, a ramette. No, I mean a real rat. Anyway, the primary purpose of prayer is to know Him. To know Him and to make Him known is a good motto. Is that the Navigators? To know Him and to make Him known. It's a good motto, isn't it? I want to get to know God and I want to other people to get to know Him through me. Knowledge of God is to be to get to know Him as a person, not as a set of doctrinal statements. And we said that last week. Don't read your Bible just to get knowledge so you'll know more, but read your Bible to get to know Jesus more. Because Jesus is the Word. So you're not reading the Word just to know it. You're reading it to know Jesus, who is the living Word. So you're reading it for a relationship. You're not reading it for knowledge, which makes people proud. People argue for knowledge, don't they? They get arrogant from knowledge. But if you're reading to know God better, that is a noble pursuit. Knowledge of God is to be to get to know Him as a person, not as a set of doctrinal statements. So are doctrinal statements not good? No, they are good. It's good to know what you believe. It's good to say, what things do you believe? I believe this. I believe Jesus is fully divine and fully man. He's fully God, He's fully man. He lived a perfect life. He died for our sins. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. He's alive now and sitting at the right hand of God. And He's coming again to establish His reign on earth. Those are doctrinal statements. They're great. They're what you believe. And we need to know them. But we're knowing them again because we want to know a person, just not a system. Not a system of beliefs, but a person. So you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. But always with the intention or the purpose of an experiential knowledge of God. You know the word knowledge in the Bible, it sometimes uses it for intimate relationships between a man and a woman. And she knew him. He knew her. They lay together and he knew her. It means an intimate experience of somebody else. And knowing God is meant to be like that. An intimate experience of God. That's why we read our Bibles, and that's why we pray, and that's why we worship. Because, you know, if you really want to get to know a person, you have to talk to them, don't you? To spend time with them. If you don't spend time with them, you won't really know them. So experiential means an intimate knowledge of God. Gregory of Nyssa talks about the purity of your intentions. And this is very important, about your intentions and your desires. Because it doesn't mean your attainment, it means what you would really want. And the purity of our intentions to know God is a great intention. It's a very pure intention. Now, I know we fail, but the intention is pure. I want to know God more than I do now. Is anybody else? I want to know him more. I want to know you. More and more and more, I want to know. We regard, Gregory of Nyssa says, the purest of our intentions, and the final goal of those intentions is friendship with God. Gregory said, we regard falling away from that friendship as the only dreadful thing. And we consider becoming God's friend the only thing worthy of honour and praise. It's a priority in your life, isn't it? To know God and to become his friend and to know him intimately. It's a good, pure intention. Why not set yourself that intention? Go higher. Colossians 3:1. Set your mind on things above. It's a good, pure intention. Okay, prayer. How do we pray? Is anybody really good at praying here? Yeah? Anybody, 10 out of 10? Great. Tops. Who's a better prayer than all the people on your row? I'm glad you didn't put your hands up. So how do we pray? How do we learn to pray? We could all pray better than we do, couldn't we? We could all be better at praying than we do. Billy Graham, when they asked him when he was in his 80s, is there anything you'd wish you could have done better? Because he preached to millions, didn't he? He said, yeah, I'd like to have prayed more. I'd like to have prayed better. And it's a good thing because prayer is talking to God, isn't it? And listening to God. It's two-way. What about Bible prayers? Have you ever thought of praying Bible prayers? Because that's what we're reading here in Colossians. It's a prayer that's in the Bible. Do you want to know how to pray? Look at the Bible prayers. What's the best thing to pray about? What does God want us to pray about? Read a Bible prayer. That's what he wants us to pray about. God wrote that prayer that we've just read out. All scriptures inspired by God. God inspired that prayer through his Holy Spirit. So what does God want us to pray? God, what do you want me to pray about? What sort of things should I pray about? I've run out of words. I don't know what to pray. Help me get to work on time. Amen. Finished. No. What can I pray about, Lord? Look at this. Look at this prayer here in Colossians. Verse 9. Since the day we heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you. And here's the prayer. These are the things they pray. Asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will. There's a great prayer, isn't it? Look at the person next to you and say, God wants to fill you with the knowledge of his will. You can all say it to me if you want. Go on, say it to me. I like it. Nobody said it to me. Thank you. God wants to fill you with the knowledge of his will. And he wants to do it through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. If I said to you, what's your biggest need in your life right now? I bet you wouldn't say spiritual wisdom and understanding. You might do. But God thinks that's your biggest need. God thinks you need spiritual wisdom and understanding. So he inspires a prayer. All the Bible is inspired by God. He inspires a prayer, Holy Spirit written prayer, saying, I want you to be filled with the knowledge of me in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You ought to know what to pray for somebody. Pray that. How often should you pray it? A lot. Very often. These are the kind of things God wants you to ask him for. So I reckon there's 7 things in this prayer that he wants us to ask. Number 1, God may fill you with the knowledge of his will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And remember, knowledge equals intimate experience. That's number 1. Number 2, that you may live a life worthy of the Lord. God wants you to live a life worthy of him. Number three, that you may please him in every way. Who wants to be a God pleaser? I do. Paul says in Galatians 1:9, do I please man or do I please God? There's a bit of a choice, isn't there? What governs my life? Am I going to please men or am I going to please God? Well, he wants us to please him. So Paul prays for the Colossians that they may please him in every way. Fourth thing, that you may bear fruit in every good work. Fifth thing, that you may grow in the knowledge of God. It's a process. It goes on all the time. Sixth thing, that you may be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. You ever feel weak in your Christian life? God wants to strengthen you. He says, pray to get strengthened. I feel weak. I feel there's nothing inside. I feel I'm not doing well. My spirit's low. Pray to be strengthened. God, that's what God wants you to pray about. God, will you strengthen me, please? Lastly, that you may have great endurance and patience. We're in a long race, aren't we? Things will happen all along the way. Some good, some bad. Some neutral. Some mediocre. But we need endurance and patience to finish the race. Now then, the amount of prayer, this might be a controversial statement. The amount of prayer, who likes controversy? Do you like controversy? I just stir things up a bit. The amount of prayer, am I ever going to finish the sentence? Is relative to the measure that you're going to receive these things. Ooh, that's controversial, is it not? The amount that you pray this prayer is relative to how much of these things you will receive. I.e., the more you pray this prayer, putting it more simply, the more you will receive these things. The more you pray, God, strengthen me with your might, the more you will be strengthened with your might. The more you pray, God, fill me with the knowledge of you and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, the more you will be those things. That is a controversial statement, really. But I think it's true. God releases wisdom and revelation in response to your prayers. I don't think he does it to the casual approach. Yeah, I don't mind some certain wisdom and revelation. I think he does it when you pray and say, can I have some wisdom and revelation, please God? Some spiritual wisdom and revelation. Why does God want us to have these things? They're the opposite of what the enemy wants for you. Of what the rat wants for you. Or the dragon. Or the serpent. All those nasty little animals that represent the enemy of our souls. He doesn't want you to have any of those things. He wants the opposite. He doesn't want you strengthened with might. He wants you weakened. He doesn't want you increasing in revelation. He wants you to live in darkness. He doesn't want you to know these things. He doesn't want you to grow in wisdom. He wants you to be ignorant. He doesn't want you to get to know God more. He wants you to get to know him more. That's his plan for your life. The rat. These things, they're opposite of what the enemy wants. They're what you need most. Not what you think you need most. They're what God thinks you need most. And I want to finish by us praying these things. Because this is a prayer. And this is the breath of God. And if you want to develop your prayer life, learn some biblical prayers. There is about 25 prayers in the New Testament. We read one in our group, didn't we, on Thursday night, John 17. Jesus is praying the whole of that chapter to God. It's a great prayer. And here's another one. This is very similar to the ones in Ephesians. And I'd like us to pray it. Now then, how should we do it? Should I pray for you lot? Or do you want to get into twos and threes and pray these things for each other? You don't have to make any words up. All you've got to do is read out what it says in the passage. I pray this for you. I really don't know the best way to do it. I think it might be best if, so that nobody's uncomfortable, maybe some people have never done that before, I'll pray the prayer for you guys. Is that alright? Also, it's hot, you know, holy roll-ons and all that. So, let's just bow our heads. Remember, the more you pray this prayer, the more you receive. These are the things God wants for your life. So I pray for you. And I ask God to fill you with the knowledge of His will. Fill them, Father, with the knowledge of your will. Fill each one of us in this room with the knowledge of your will. We want to know what your will is for us, Lord. We want to know what you desire for us. So fill us with the knowledge of your will. And Father, I pray for spiritual wisdom and revelation. Spiritual wisdom and understanding. I pray you'd give us spiritual wisdom that as we make decisions in our lives, as we make even moral decisions, as we make decisions of what we're supposed to do in difficult situations, that you'll give us spiritual wisdom. As we have to learn what to say and what not to say, and who to say it to. I pray for spiritual wisdom, Lord. Wisdom is the right application of knowledge. And I pray for that for us. I pray for the right application of knowledge. I pray that everybody in this room would grow in wisdom. Jesus, you are wisdom. That's who you are. One of the things you are is wisdom. I pray that you'll cause us to grow in the knowledge of your will, in spiritual wisdom, and in revelation and understanding. I pray you reveal things to us, Lord. I pray you reveal light to us. I pray when the darkness seems to be closing in on us, that your revelation would come, your light would come. And we know darkness retreats whenever light comes. So bring your understanding, your revelation. I pray that we would live lives worthy of you. Lord, we want to live lives that are worthy of you. We know that's what you want for us. And I pray you'd give us the ability and the energy and the power and the wisdom and the revelation to live lives worthy of you. We want to please you, Lord. We want to please you. So we pray, Father, that not only would be a life worthy of you, but we would please you in every way. Father, we want to please you. We like it when you're pleased with us. And we like it that you see the purity of our intentions. Thank you, Father, for the big yes you've put in our spirit. We want to renew ourselves before you again today. And Father, I pray that we would bear fruit in every good work. We don't be fruit-bearing Christians. We don't be Christians who don't produce any fruit. We want to produce fruit, Lord, because your Spirit is within us. We pray for your Holy Spirit fruit in our lives. We pray for more love in our lives and more peace in our lives. That we can give these things away and walk in them. More joy in our lives. We pray for your fruit, Lord. We pray for fruit in good work, in compassion and in mercy, and in reaching out to those that we touch, who need your mercy and need your compassion. Let us bear fruit in every good work. And we pray that we would grow in the knowledge of you. And Father, I pray for strength, that you would strengthen us with all power according to your glorious might. Strengthen us, Lord. Strengthen each one in this room now. Strengthen their spirit, strengthen their resolve, strengthen their intention to know you more. And Lord, I pray for endurance and patience. And Father, we want to be people who joyfully give thanks to you, the Father. You are great, Lord. You make me smile, Lord, when I think about you. Because you are a joyful, happy God. You're full of joy, Jesus. You said, my joy shall remain in you and your joy shall be full. And Father, I pray for your joy so that we can joyfully keep giving thanks to you. I pray that we'd be thankful people, strengthened with all might according to your glorious power. Strengthened with all might according to your glorious power. Joyfully giving thanks to you, Lord. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Worthy, 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 worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Strengthen us with your might, Lord. Deep inside, increase our knowledge of you. Increase our knowledge of you, Lord. Increase our knowledge of you. We want to walk worthy of you. We want to live lives pleasing to you. Fill us with your wisdom and your revelation. Fill us with your spiritual understanding. Fill us with your strength and might. You're awesome, Lord. We love you. We love you. We love you. You're glorious. Keep filling us, Lord. Strengthen us. Strengthen us. Give us spiritual wisdom and understanding. Father, give us more of you. Increase our knowledge of you, I pray. Increase our knowledge of you. Help us to bear fruit, Lord, in every good work. In every good work. In every good work. Let us increase in the knowledge of you, Lord. How great you are. How great you are. Amen. Amen. Amen.